get started. Here we are. This is an interesting night and somewhat challenging, and I'm not going to come across, I don't want to come across like, you know, I are the scholar here. But there's three things that pop up right here in James that you know that the gang that's out there that brings all this stuff together is going to take these three things and make them a Gentile thing. First of all, we did it this morning, chapter 1, verse 18, where he talks about the word of the truth. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth. There we go. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That, you know, again, if we accept and understand that these Hebrews to Jude is tribulation, Jewish, if we don't have that nailed and confident in that fact and the truth of that whole thing, then you will always be challenged with, well, maybe this is one of those places. It's just like, you know, unless you're really solid on the King James Bible and you can't figure something out, so you figure, well, maybe this is one of those places. No, we just don't understand that spot, okay? If that's, you know, if you're that solid on this being tribulational stuff, then this will make more sense to you because it's not as clear as I'd like it to be. But then again, if we really see that this is tribulation, then it's very clear. But it's just not what you hear anywhere. And I'm not, you know, Mr. Only, I'm not the Lone Ranger for preaching here. But we see the first one is the word of the truth. It's not word of the truth, it's word of truth. There we go. And like I said, what is the word of truth? Well, what's the word of truth during the Old Testament? What's the word of truth during the Gospels? What's the word of truth during Paul's time? What's the word of truth during the trip, during Great Commission? What's the word of truth during the tribulation? What's the word of truth to this very day, which is still Paul's time, the dispensation of grace, you know? And is it or is it not the King James Bible? Because if it is not the King James Bible, then we better start living good enough in our life that where it says here, not to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that, you know, we will be blessed in his deed. And we want to make sure that we get blessed for what we do based on our walk. But see, that's not to us. So we can't go there with that. Nowhere does Paul talk like that. Okay, so today the word of truth is the King James Bible, no doubt. And then the things that it says here, you know, if you like wisdom, ask him of God that giveth 12 men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now we know what that means to us. That means that if we read our Bible, God will give us that wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge, in that order backwards, of course. Knowledge, read your Bible, learn the knowledge of the risen Savior, you'll get the understanding, and wisdom will come. And God will give it to us liberally. But see, we have to read that thing. We have to study that thing and rightly divide it. So that's the, for us, it's the King James Bible. For them, it's not the King James Bible because they're gonna have a family hearing it anyway. And if the King James Bible is available for the few people that have it, sure, they can read Hebrews to Jude and know exactly what's going on. But there's going to be a famine of hearing that thing, so it's not going to be around very much. So Christ, you know, with the Spirit of God upon their flesh, is going to have to still get things across to them. They will be the anointed. They will have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They will be able to know what they need to know. Whether they can do anything with it or not, that's different. It says here, let patience have her perfect works, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The burden is put on the shoulders and the feet of the people during this tribulation. And we see this all through this thing. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So, that engrafted word we have today is through a King James Bible. It's able to save our soul. But then he goes on and tells them, make sure they're a doer of the word, not just a hearer. You know, and if you're a doer of the work, then God will bless your deed. And in the meantime, keep yourself unspotted from the world and take care of these people that are hurting. And you're not going to have any money. You're going to be poor. And do what you can to help other people. And that's pure and undefiled religion. And that's what you need to have then, but not today. And how can their religion in that day be a worthless religion still if they don't keep their mouth shut? Bridle his tongue. They seem to be religious, see? They're going to look like it. So what does Paul say? Paul says we have, these people have a godliness without denying the power thereof. So what Paul's talking about with godliness is not length of hair, skirts, da-da-da-da. It's a belief. And anyway, the similarities are there, but they're still different. So that's the one we talked about this morning, the word of truth. Now look at verse 25. I kind of skipped through it quickly this morning. You probably picked up on it there. There's two more things we need to look at tonight. One is the perfect law of liberty. Well, how can they have liberty in the tribulation when all things are not lawful? I mean, all things are lawful. No, all things are not unlawful. There we go. I mean, there's things they have to do. And there's things they can't do. So how can they have a what's this perfect law of liberty? And then, if we get to it, which I think we probably will, it's the first verse of the next chapter where it says, what a thing to say, my brethren have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus, they have the faith of Jesus? I thought they didn't have that during the tribulation, see? I thought that was just a Paul thing. Well, I'll show you some things that make, there's a difference. But let's go back to this perfect law of liberty, chapter 1, verse 25. You know, they're talking about a guy here that's not, is just a hearer of the word, not a doer. Okay? And he says in verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay? But, now, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein what? In the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So it looks like they have the liberty, but they have to still do the right thing. Well, we have the liberty, and we still try to do the right thing, but if we blow it, it's not imputed. You know, see what I'm saying, the difference there? They have the law of liberty, they have liberty, and they will be blessed physically if they do the right thing. So what's the difference? What is this difference? Well, I think you probably know there's a difference there. Paul never says the perfect law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? Well, what do you do? Okay, you get out your little Bible concordance on your computer and you look up liberty and you see some obvious differences here. Well, Hebrews to Jude are tribulational Old Testament type stuff. We got to remember that this is still after Christ. Old Testament was not after Christ. So even though they're still having to walk the commandments, there is something different about Hebrews to Jude, and that's the fact that they have to have faith as they did in the Old Testament. And we'll see here a little later that they still have the faith of Jesus Christ. But the difference is they could lose that and we can't. But let's get to this first thing here first, and that's this liberty thing. So let's look at the Old Testament here. We go back to Psalm 119, verse 45. And he says here, Psalm 119, verse 45. And he says here, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now what you're going to notice here is you're going to hear liberty being stated along with their works, their walk. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Okay, so there's a liberty there, but these guys are still bound, you know, by the law as such. Jeremiah 34. Jeremiah 34, verse 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people, which were at Jerusalem, to proclaim liberty unto them. Okay, Jeremiah 34, verse 15. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. Interesting. There's still a liberty that Christ, that God talks about here in this book. Jeremiah 34, verse 36. But ye turned and polluted my name, and called every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure. So there's a definition of liberty. These guys were set free. Jeremiah 34, verse 17, next verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine. And I will make you be, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Then Ezekiel talks about the year of liberty, which is again, a physical thing for them. But they still talk about a liberty. But it's a physical liberty. If that, I'll show you. Hang on, just hang on here. Now, let's go to Hebrews. I don't know why our dog is barking, but oh well, yes, I do know. Know ye that our brother Timothy, in Hebrew, well sure, Paul's writing, so why he would know Timothy. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. Interesting that liberty is brought up there. Then we've got James 1:25, but look at James 2:12. So 1:25 says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's a doer of that work. James 2:12, so speak ye, and so do, as they that they shall be judged by the law of liberty. They're going to be judged by the law of liberty. That's interesting. And Peter talks about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, hiding behind your liberty to do, you know, the mean, rotten stuff there, but as servants of God. Then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves were the servants of corruption. So there's a fake promise there, and the promise they were promising them was a liberty. So what we see in especially the tribulation books here, this liberty gives them the liberty to be the servant of God, to do the right thing, Jewish still, and if they don't do the right thing, then they still could do a sin unto death. Judgment seat of Christ has passed as far as the Gentiles go. As free and not using your liberty. So they have a liberty, but they can use that liberty to do the wrong thing, and if they do the wrong thing, they're still in trouble. And it says, in 2 Peter 2:19, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. So they promise this liberty message to these people, but they end up in more bondage. Now, I'll tell you one thing Paul never says. Paul never calls it the law of liberty. And that has to be the difference. He says in Galatians, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And he says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, which is just what, Peter said, for a cloak of maliciousness. So they have their liberty, but they have to do the right thing, and they have the liberty to do the right thing. They don't have the liberty before that. In the Old Testament as such, they didn't have the liberty like we're talking about here. It's a different kind of liberty. Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He didn't make them free. He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, we have a different liberty. He says also, just like again what Peter said, he says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So yeah, we can't never hide behind this liberty either, because it can cause somebody to stumble. But that's not what Peter and James are talking about. They trip up on their liberty, they lose it. So what we have to see here, again, is if you want to show somebody that the Hebrews to Jude is all to Gentiles, you go to the word of truth and you go to the perfect law of liberty, although Paul never talks about the law of liberty. Liberty exists in the Old Testament when they were his people, and it exists today, and it exists in the future, in the tribulation. Today, there's something going on that we have that allows us to have this liberty in the fashion that we have it. Now, before I get to that statement there, to prove that thing and show you what I mean, let me read you what somebody puts on there, what some preacher says about this perfect law of liberty. And what I want you to, can you hear the dog? I mean, I'm just kind of like, why does that dog have to be barking? I think he's outside wanting to come in and nobody's there to let him in, I guess. Something's going on, who knows. Oh well, if you hear it, you hear it. Okay, here's what they say. As a rule, denominationalists believe and teach that we, that's us, by the way, we're denominationalists, although not the way they define it. As a rule, denominationalists believe and teach that we are under a system of grace and liberty today. Well, duh. Hence, obedience to law is not required in order to be saved. Well, I don't know, Romans 10:3, Christ took care of the law for righteousness, you know, spiritual circumcision, we know all the verses and stuff. I don't see a problem in that, but I guess this guy wants to. Anyway, here's where he goes. We are, in fact, under grace and liberty. However, obedience to law is required. Now, figure that out. We are, in fact, under grace and liberty. However, obedience to law is required. Hebrews. He has to go to Hebrews for that. Oh, that could be part of the problem. Later on, he goes to Luke. Okay, goes to John 14, goes to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, goes to John 1, 17. Oh, that's interesting. Goes to 1 John 5, 3, goes to Acts 2, 38. Oh, do we see what's going on here? This guy's taking some verses from tribulation, bringing it back to this time, which is Paul's dispensation. So he's taken Paul's grace and liberty and throwing in the fact that we still need to be obedient to the law, which is just totally flies against what Christ says, what the Bible says about what Christ did with the law. He says here, actually, we are under law. Law to Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Therefore, we read of the law of Christ. So then he brings in Luke. He says, he reflects, reflective of the law, Jesus asked the question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. So he's combining John 14, 15, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, and he's trying to define the law of Christ as this law of liberty that they still have to obey. So, do you see how important, right? You know, this is a page of vain babblings, profane and vain babblings. And he goes on with some stuff. And he's just bouncing around from dispensation to dispensational verses in that Bible, trying to prove that we have grace and liberty, but we still have to obey the law. Well, then that's not liberty, that's bondage. Okay, so what's James talking about here? Well, let's look back and see. This was all written before Paul. This was all written to the time that these guys were going to have to go through this tribulation. And yes, this liberty that they have, the Bible talks about even in the Old Testament, but they still have to obey the law. But they're God's people. So they have this liberty as God's people to obey God's law. They have to. They just have to. They have to keep unspotted from the world. So with this liberty, they still can't blow it. We have a liberty, we can blow it, and yet we still need to get back up and keep going. But that work will be burnt in the judgment seat of Christ. They don't have that coming after them. Okay, that's one of them, this perfect law of liberty. Let's look at another one here. Let's go to this second James. Let's go to James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Well, there it is. They talk about the faith of Christ, you'll see. Well, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Brethren, have not the faith of our... So they've got the faith of Jesus Christ, but they're not to have it with respect of persons. In other words, you know, if I can say this or not, if I can explain this, but they have the faith of Jesus, but their walk has to be based on that faith of Jesus, and they can't have it respect towards persons. So it's still a work thing. Now listen to the way Paul defines, or it says, the faith of, and you'll see there's a difference here. These guys have the faith of Jesus Christ, but they're going to have to walk as they have it. It still becomes their faith. It still becomes their walk. Because it goes right on in verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, there's your old King James there, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there or sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are becoming judges of evil thoughts? Okay, so they're taking this faith of Jesus Christ that they have, and they're expressing it or whatever any wrong way. And I'll show you. Hang on. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world? Everybody will be poor that's going to follow Christ, the risen Savior, you know, tribulation. Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? We've seen that. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Meaning court situations and all that. Sure they do. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Christians, you know. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. There's works. But see, here's the statement. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Well, what does Paul say? Christ has taken care of sin, but not for the tribulation. Then he says here, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. Okay, now can we put that on us today? No, because see, we don't keep the law, and in a salvation situation, if you think you're doing good enough to earn your way to salvation, well, you know, yeah, you can put that. But see, that's what they'll be doing then. That isn't today. And the fact that if you have respect towards persons, you commit sin. And we know that in 1 John chapter 3, that if you sin, you're not of God, you're born of God, that type of thing. It goes over and over and over, all that stuff. Okay, so obviously this faith of our Lord Jesus Christ talked about in verse 1 is still the faith of Jesus Christ, but what's the difference between us and them? Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about it, John. Let's read what he says about the faith of Jesus Christ for us today, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, see, for us in this dispensation of grace, the faith of Jesus Christ actually justifies us. We're justified by the faith of Christ, Galatians 2:16. They're not. Look at verse 24. There's his conclusion where it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. This is different than Paul's stuff. Galatians 2:16, finish it up, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, is just exactly opposite of what James says. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. They're going to have to live by the faith of the Son of God. They're actually going to have to do what Christ would have them do. We do what Christ would have us do out of reasonable service, and if we can, our flesh doesn't want to do it, they're going to have to do it. Okay? A couple other verses about the faith of Christ, but you just note that they're different than what's being talked about with James. Revelation 14 says this, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They've got to keep the faith of Jesus. They got to keep it, they lose it. Well, how can that be? Can we lose it? No, for one simple, obvious word, and these are my thoughts, I mean, the word of truth, today is the King James Bible, the perfect law of liberty, we don't live under a law of liberty today. We have it's a spiritual liberty. And because Christ took care of the law for righteousness, we don't have to follow the law, but we still are told that we should, and we'll be rewarded if we can. In the tribulation, they'll have to do the right thing. They have the liberty to do the right thing, but they'll have to actually do it. And if they blow it, then they will burn. And then the last thing is the faith of Jesus Christ. They've got the faith of Jesus Christ, but there's something that they don't have that we have. Or there's something that's not done to them that is done to us, in the fact that we're sealed. 2 Corinthians 1:22. He hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In whom, verse 13 of Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. The Holy Spirit of promise. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So, and this is the only place you read that. Any sealing that goes on in the tribulation is talking about the tribes being sealed with the servants, with the, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads, he talks about in Revelation 7. Tribe of Simeon, Asher, Judah, Zebulun, they're sealed, but we're not talking about what Paul's talking about. So, we have to understand that the tribulation and what Paul teaches are different. And you can find a verse or two that might make you think, well, see, there it is, the word of truth. There it is, the law of liberty. There it is, the faith of Jesus Christ. But the faith of Jesus Christ, which we receive, justifies us. They still have to be justified by their works. That's why the next part of this chapter is talking about faith and works. And we have liberty in Christ, but it's not called the law of liberty. He gives us what I call the strings attached. You know, all things are lawful. However, they need to be expedient, they need to edify, they can't cause someone else to stumble, they can't be an occasion for the flesh, and, occasion for the flesh, edify, forgot the one already. I'm so terrible about that. I should memorize them in an order, but I get a little quicker. And my mind is distracted anyway here by something I've seen up there. It didn't last very long. But anyway. Come on, we got here. We got expedient, edify, not occasion for flesh, not to stumble, or brought into the power of. And if we are, if we do follow those things, we're not breaking the law of liberty. We will, you know, we will suffer the loss of rewards for those things, but we ourselves will not burn. In this tribulation, yes, they still will. They've got to stay clean. They've got to keep the faith of Jesus Christ in them. They're not sealed. We're sealed. They mess up, Christ will try to straighten them out because he's there. And if he doesn't, he's gone. And in the Old Testament, it doesn't talk about sealed because nobody's given the Holy Spirit during the Old Testament. Nobody has the faith of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament because it doesn't exist yet. And yet we talk about liberty in the Old Testament, Gospels, Great Commission, Paul's time, and the tribulation. But their liberty is a law, and they've got to follow that law of liberty or they lose it. Anyway, those are just three phrases that we have to be willing to let somebody try to, they're going to, if you ever get into a discussion, don't you sense that the discussions with people are like pretty much done anymore? As we close in on the end, Romans 11:22, where people are tired of, they don't want to hear the goodness of God. Gentiles don't want to hear it. Are you recognizing that really nobody just wants to talk about it? They don't want to even talk about anything. They just want their money. We're just on a survival mode. I just want a job. I want money. Is it a love for money? No, it's a need for money. We're all working. You ever try to talk to somebody about this stuff? They really just, whatever. They don't, it just doesn't matter to them anymore. I think some of it's because these guys that are Bible students really still don't study their Bible. They just study what they've been taught. Then you've got these people that have heard what these guys have preached, but they've never seen it. They've never seen the blessings from God for doing the right thing. They've never seen this stuff that they're being told or being hammered, whatever, you know, like it's going to happen in the tribulation, because it's not going to happen now. So as a result, they just don't want to hear it. It's nothing but confusion. And then I think a third, I'm just winging my thoughts here, then the third thing is these pastors tell them, if anybody's talking about Paul, they're a cult, da-da-da-da, so they don't even give it a chance, because they've never, again, boils down to not reading their Bible. Because that's the word of truth today. And if they don't read their Bible, they're going to think like Gentiles, the lost Gentiles, in the vanity of their mind. They're going to try to figure it out themselves. We can figure this out ourselves. Even these things about the word of truth and the perfect law of liberty and the faith of Jesus Christ. Had to have some scriptures there to show me what I believe to be, to explain those three things. Has to be scriptures. Can't be because of some school I went to. And we went through the scriptures. We understand the differences. But people just don't want to, they're just not interested. I don't know. Anyway, short tonight, but those are the three things we get before we go on with James. Because now, see, we're going to get into this, the classic, you know, in verse 20, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's the next thing we'll talk about Wednesday night. Why are we doing this, if anybody wants to know? Because we have to realize that, see you later, Bob, they have to realize that there is a difference. And if it's not Paul, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if somebody's teaching something other than what I've taught here, even if it's an angel from heaven, it's wrong, and let that person be accursed. I mean, that's the way it is. It's Paul only. And what we see here by studying the Hebrews to Jude, we see what's going on in the churches today, and they're preaching a false gospel, even if they use a King James Bible. They're using it wrongly, incorrectly. And if it's not the word of truth, they come up with another Jesus. And that's been Paul's biggest fear for any of his people, any of those people that he meets, is you have another Jesus. Maybe people don't listen to us anymore because we give up and quit talking to people because they have another Jesus and we can't convince them because they have no authority in their scriptures. So we can't show them anything anyway. And maybe we don't care that somebody else has another Jesus anymore. Maybe we're running out of steam ourselves. I know, they can always turn to the website. Well, that doesn't seem to always work. But anyway, there you go.